Welcome to this episode of Never Thought I'd Say This, the parenting podcast for people with and without kids, because we try to take ourselves not too seriously, so we have fun on this podcast.
And be funny.
Yeah.
Regardless of what our boyfriends think, or fiance and boyfriend.
We try. But I'm your host, Jody Sweeten, and I am joined by one of my favorite people.
No, thanks.
If not one, yeah, you're one of my favorite people because I have a few. but you're my best friend. Well, because I was like, no, there's like my kids. I like them most of the time. But that's actually one of the things that we're talking about today is phrases that will transform your relationship with your child.
You never said who I am. What if people don't know who I am?
Celia Behar.
We're like completely out of sorts today, you guys. We're
running late. The squirrels
are busy. Things have gone horribly wrong with, well, not horribly, but probably wrong. In one way or the other, technically.
Well, I just got a new camera here that actually came recommended from John Stamos.
When so we blame John. We'll blame John.
Right. And look, it's green now.
I know.
It's
fine. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Well, we recorded on the iPad just as backup to make sure that we have some video for this.
Well, hopefully. Also, I was in such a rush to leave. Usually, we're doing two episodes in a day.
Indeed.
Sometimes we do that. I left late and did not grab an extra shirt. I usually will switch clothing often in between podcasts so that BP, when he edits, knows that which episode's which. Didn't do that. So I instead have gone completely janky and just took my overalls down.
At least you did something different. I completely forgot because I was so busy worrying about the camera that I didn't change. So
also,
guess
this shirt
everyone
is see-through. So welcome.
Jesus, God. Every Monday is like this.
Honestly.
It really is. It's insane.
It's a Nipply Monday. It's what it is now.
It's a Nipply Monday.
It's a Nipply Monday.
Oh, it's a bit nippy outside.
fuck.
Well.
That's all.
Right?
Just fuck.
Oh, fuck. And you've got to get out of here at a certain time. And I don't know. Like I said, I woke up this morning. So I fell asleep on the couch, first of all, with B.
Okay.
I slept on the couch all night. But I woke up this morning like, you know when you wake up and the first thing you think is like, wow, I have way more energy and my brain is way more on than usual today.
Yes.
Like I am feeling no residual grogginess. I am ready for the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Which can backfire.
Yeah. Yeah. Because usually I wake up like that and then my brain is like fucking overdrive. I'm ready for the day. But I am not really focused to get anything done. And so that's where I'm at today. So like I said, I call them my squirrels, and my squirrels are very busy today in my head.
Oh, well,
And I, you know, everything was set up. I think everything's going swimmingly. I'm pretty sure we're recording the audio. Got kids to school. Lunches were packed. I actually think I'm pretty on it today.
I mean, I just feel a little sad. You were like, my squirrels are on fire, you know, much like my cat. And I was like, well, look, you've gotten all this stuff done. I woke up with so much rip-roaring anxiety that I don't seem to be able to get under control. Plus, I'm premenstrual, so my PMDD is like kicked in. So pretty much everything makes me want to cry. Like, it's just one of those days where you're like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Why do I want to cry? Like, all I want to do is cry. And I'm sure I'm like taking things to heart that I shouldn't be, or maybe I should be, and I'm not taking them to heart. You know?
Well, I think this is a good time for me to bring up a few things I'd like to say.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
Like,
some things I've been meaning to talk to you about, Celia, that you need to work on, and
sure
things I don't
list.
Like about you.
Yeah. No. Believe me, just add to the one that's on. That's the day it is. For me, I have a list of going on in my brain of all the things I'm fucking failing at that I'm just like, I'm shitty at this, I'm shitty at that.
Well, here's the thing.
That's how Dustin woke up, by the way.
Okay.
It was to my list.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to stop that right now. We're going to take a deep breath. And anybody else that's out there that's feeling like that, we're going to take a nice deep breath.
Yes, please.
Guess what, Celia? You're great at things.
Oh,
you do a lot of things every day for a lot of people, and you're pretty awesome. And so whatever your stupid head...
That'll make me cry.
Well, no, I'm not meaning to make you cry. I'm just meaning to, like, you do a lot of things for a lot of people, and you put yourself on the back burner. So today, allow yourself to feel your feelings and just know that you're doing a damn good job. And you know what? In the grand scheme of shit, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at today. I'm super, I'm zen with wild squirrels running through my brain, but I'm able to be like, no, everything's fine. Like, none of this shit really matters. If, like, this happens, oh, well, whatever. I think after I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once, like, I'm like, oh, in some multiverse, I've made a choice to do this and this was happening and none of this matters and I'm flying through space on a rock and fuck it.
Can we actually, that movie factors into, well, first of all, my feelings factor into what we're talking about today, which was the phrases that will transform your relationship. And when we come back from break, because I think that actually we should all say these phrases to ourselves and to our friends. Like when I read them, it's why I sent them to you guys. I really think they're important, but also I feel like they factor into the movie, which without getting any things away, I think we can kind of talk about because it's a current movie. But we have to take a break.
Okay, so well, we will take a break and we will be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy.
I know I'm not alone when I say stress shows up in all kinds of ways. And in a world that's telling you to do more and sleep less and grind all the time, here is your reminder to take care of yourself, do less, and maybe try some therapy.
Truly, people don't always realize that physical symptoms like headaches, teeth grinding, and even digestive issues can be indicators of stress. And let's not forget about doom scrolling, sleeping too little, sleeping too much, undereating, and overeating.
Okay, I feel like this is really directed at me.
you and me both.
Even though many of us will drop anything to help someone we care about, women often go out of our way to treat other people well. But how often do we show ourselves the same treatment?
I mean, I don't. That's the problem a lot of the time. And you call me out on it. But you know what? So does my therapist. And absolutely, that's why people need therapy.
Absolutely. Self-care, you know, is not always massages and mani-pedis. It's taking care of your mental health. It's knowing when to take a break. It's knowing when to say no. It's having boundaries. It's all those kinds of things. And you learn those in therapy and coaching with things like BetterHelp. So if this really resonates with you, then you need to know about BetterHelp. BetterHelp Online Therapy is a fantastic way to show yourself the same love and attention you show everyone else.
And that's because therapy is one of the best ways to show up for yourself and perform self-care. I love BetterHelp because it's really easy to access. You get matched with your own personal therapist. You don't have to stay in an awkward waiting room or anything like that. And plus, they provide financial aid, which is like, you know, pretty unheard of.
Yeah, financial aid for therapy is super important. And I love that BetterHelp offers that. So BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you really don't want to.
Not only that, like I said, it's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours.
So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp Online Therapy.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and never thought I'd say this. Listeners get 10% off of their first month at BetterHelp.com/say this. That's BetterHelp.com/say this.
And we're back. And luckily, today we are going to be talking about words and phrases that we can use to help bridge the gap when we're trying to find common ground with your children and teach them to learn from life's sometimes annoying experiences. And that's, you know, it's really hard because what I find is that I tend to be critical, or I tend to say like what I would have done or how it should have been done differently, or, you know, whatever. And I realize that that immediately separates us into like parent-child, which, you know, we are, but it's not a way that like allows them to open up or allows them to express their feelings or emotions. It's kind of just critical. And I fucking hate that about myself. And I know it's something that I do, and I'm really trying to be more cognizant of it.
Well, I think even some of the things that they go into, you know, in this article are things that like we sort of take for granted because we're grownups. And so often we're like, you kind of brush off feelings of kids because you know, in the bigger picture, it probably isn't going to matter down the road, but they don't know that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Jody talked about Everything Everywhere All at Once a couple episodes back, and Dustin and I went to go see it the other night, and I had the same reaction that you did. I can't wait to see it again, and I want to watch it with my kids. And I felt like it was a roller coaster, and I think probably particularly for moms, because it really does go into the mother-daughter relationship, but I'm sure mothers of sons will really as well, and probably fathers too.
And I think, it was just, I keep talking. It's just such a great movie.
It's such a great movie, but so much of it.
It's about relationships.
About relationships.
Just mother-daughter, but that's like parenting. True. It really is about.
Even a marriage. I mean, it's about a
yeah. marriage. It's mm-hmm. about a relationship with her dad. It's about, you know, it's about so many things. It's just a great movie. But, you know, it's important to talk about the power that words hold with our kids. And that it talks about that in the movie, too. And
right.
You know, one of the best ways of doing this is by showing them and not telling them. So author H. Jackson Brown once said that never underestimate the power of words to heal and reconcile relationships. And, I would like so to add to that true. Also the power of words that can really be damaging. And to know the power that words have, you know, we say sticks and stones won't break my bones, but words can really hurt me. And that's true.
Yeah.
You know, words can stick with you a lot longer sometimes than something physical. It really can hurt. Deeply. And, you know, the sentiment of this is explored in a Huffington Post article that we're going to talk about by Catherine Pearson called Six Phrases That Will Transform Your Relationship with Your Child. So if you are struggling with your kid, no matter what age they are, just know that there are things that you can do and say that will help and that, you know, it's not always going to be like this. you know, just know that parenting is like when you're having a hard day, like it's not always going to be like that. It's there will be better days.
And that I think the nice thing about this too, and I think it's why, you know, resonated for me was that I was like, you know, this is something nice to have in my back pocket so that when I also just don't know what to do, it's like a nice sort of fallback of like, oh, remember that I can go here or like, and then check myself.
Yeah.
Because so much of parenting is projection onto your kid. And we talked about that
in the last episode.
Right. And you know, what's interesting is, and I know I said this to you the other night about the movie, and I think this is, it all kind of factors in to what we're talking about is like, I had moments because I kept, you know, recognizing my relationship with my kids. Mm-hmm. And it took until sort of like end of movie to realize I hadn't really thought about my own relationship with my parents at all.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. And then I read this article and was like, you know, I think in part that's because these sort of phrases weren't said to me. As a kid, I don't think they were said to my sisters either.
I think we're just now really exploring childhood, young adulthood, teenagehood, and realizing that, like, they're people too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of time parenting was done as like a
do as I say, not as I do.
Right. And that, you know, that was sort of how it was. And now our generation is like, yeah, that shit didn't work. How do I do it a little differently? Like, how do I fix it? How do I make sure that the words that I'm saying and the things that I'm saying to my kids are as supportive as possible. And, you know, look, it's a goal. It's certainly not a perfection. That throw that idea right out the window. But this article starts by saying that parenting is rooted in action. And unfortunately, everything a child sees you do, they will eventually imitate or even worse, call you out on, which I hate when my kids call me out on stuff.
I kind of like it now.
I hate it because I'm like, God, like it. Because I know they're right and I desperately want to be right is really what it is.
I'd rather them do that than like the silent treatment. I think that's why I'm like, yeah, call me out. Even if I have to like go and take a minute and sit there and be mad that I got called out, I'd prefer that than like,
I am a silent treatment person because I prefer to avoid confrontation. So I'm like, cool, we're just not going to talk. I can do this for days.
But confrontation.
But my kids are not those kind of people.
Good.
They'll go in their room for a while, but then they come out and stomp and angrily, you know, and I'll be like, what's going on? But I'll give them a few hours because I'm like, I need a few hours.
Right. And that's fine. Listen, take a break. This is something I actually work with my clients all the time. It is this, and it goes across the board. Please, everybody remember this. Confrontation gets a bad rap. It does. You can have healthy confrontation, but please keep in mind, without confrontation, nothing changes. If everyone's just quiet and doesn't speak up and say, hey, this isn't working for me, or set their boundaries and like walk with them, then nothing fucking changes.
True. It's very, very true.
You can do it in a nice way. I'm not saying that you should like scream at each other naked. You know, I've done that. We've talked about it. Great. But there's a way to give yourself a timeout, like let them take a timeout and then come back and sit down and be like, hey, listen, here's what's working. Here's what's not. Do it in your relationships. Do it in your friendships. You have to be able to confront people.
Just don't do it on days when they're having PMDD.
Well, I'd just start crying. I mean, you could, but I'd be like, okay, whatever you have to say to me, it's okay.
But
it's better that way.
Absolutely.
I know it doesn't feel like it in the moment, but it is better.
Absolutely. And learning to change how we express ourselves, you know, we can start a new dialogue with our kids that not only can boost, you know, our communication, but the connection that we have with them. And I know that we're all trying to do that, especially in the days of technology and stuff. It can be hard to connect with your kids because you're both busy on phones and doing things. And look, I get it. We're all like that. You know, these ways to communicate with your kids are really important. And something important that the article does say is that these phrases are not miracle workers.
No.
So don't think that, like, I mean, I'm pretty sure our listeners know, don't think we're going to give you some advice that suddenly is going to heal all of the problems with your children and your teenagers. So suddenly we be like, oh my God, we should talk more, because that's not going to happen.
You just opened up my mind. I'm going to go clean my room.
You know what? I'm going to tell you everything that's going on in my online life. Right. Yeah, no, that's
also,
not.
Also, we're not really giving you advice. We're just reading things that we read and thought were really interesting and helpful to us, because
we're putting our input in on it. Let's not completely discount ourselves. We're sharing our personal experiences, which is really all we have.
Right. Advice feels very like, we know we're specialists and we know what we're talking about. I think everyone knows that we fucking don't, because fuck, as I started this episode, fuck.
Right. You know, these six phrases are not going to work miracles, of course, but they might.
They will not part the Red Sea.
This is a quote from the, right. This is a quote from the article. This is these six phrases won't work miracles, of course, but they might just subtly change the type, change the types of conversations you're having with your child, whether you're looking to get them to open up more about their days, to minimize daily nagging, or just to develop a more open, trusting relationship, which I know we all want with our kids. So yeah. That said, incorporating these phrases into your parenting lexicon will help repair and rebuild not only the relationships that you have with your children, but anyone that you really care about in your life, right. Which is something to strive for. I mean, let's try and be fucking nice, I guess, right?
You know? Yeah, try. Try being the operative word. Yeah.
Look, I am a very nice person until I'm not.
Yes, me too.
I am so nice until I'm not. Yes. And then that's when I'm not.
That right. And then all hell breaks. Then it's Street Jody.
Right.
And Street Jody's going to fight you.
Oh, man.
Right. Just saying.
It's very true. I love, by the way, it was so funny the other night. We were like, Mescal and I were sitting and talking and telling stories, and Dustin was sitting there and he was just like, wow.
I know.
You have done that. And we were like, yeah. And like, that's
why I was like, tell him that story.
Right. You're like, that's an intro.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's right. When I always look at you and I'm like, who are you?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that Jody. Right. I know this Jody, which is different.
Yes. This Jody is trying to give communication advice. So just so you know, many of these tips were sourced from Amy McCready, who is a parenting coach and founder of PositiveParentingSolutions.com, which you may want to look up if this information resonates with you. But I just want to make that clear, because it's coming from someone who knows things, not me.
Right. Wait, this first one was the one that this resonated with me a lot for two reasons. So here's the phrase. You should be proud of yourself. First,
yeah.
I'm not great even about telling my kids I'm proud of you or anyone, because I feel often that it sounds patronizing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Dustin's lost like all this weight. And finally the other day I was like, I'm proud of you. He was like, you haven't said that. And I was like, oh, fuck, I'm a dick. You know,
right.
And right away, because I'd read this, I said, well, you should really be proud of yourself, too.
Yeah.
And that research actually suggests that children's self-esteem begins to take shape when they're really young, like approximately around the time that they start kindergarten.
Yeah.
And one way to help them develop the kind of self-esteem that will serve them well in life is to stop teaching them to find external motivation for feeling good, i.e., I'm so proud of you. Instead, encourage them to feel self-pride for the things that they're already doing. And this will subtly reinforce the fact that other people's opinions of them aren't as important as their own, and will also teach them to have pride in who they are and the things that they're doing. Man alive.
Yeah, I will tell you.
I wish someone had done that for me.
Well, I will tell you, my kids, I notice the difference when I say, you know, you should be really proud of yourself. Like, you worked hard. I can tell that it hits them a little bit different. And they're like, oh, wow. Like, you know, and I'm like, wow, you should be really proud of yourself. You worked really hard at that game, or you worked, you know, you studied a lot for that test, or you worked really hard to get into that school, or whatever it might be. I try to tell them that. And I do notice that it's different than saying I'm proud of you, because they're like, well, you're my mom. You're supposed to be proud of me, whatever. Like, it means nothing. But when I'm like, you should be proud of yourself, like, you should have that feeling, because I do. And, you know, like, you should really be excited for yourself.
Right.
And that I have found, just changing those words from I'm so proud of you to you should be proud of yourself and really focusing it on their own pride has been super helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I just started doing it like last week. And then I take a minute to like remind myself, listen, you started the podcast by saying that to me. And anytime anyone says it to me, I'm like, what? Like, you know?
Oh yeah, I did.
You did.
See, look at me.
But I think you were probably the first person in my life to actually say that. I mean, maybe my sister probably did at different points and then called me a dickhead or something. But like, mostly, I think so much of our relationship, you have been like, you should be really proud of yourself. I'm proud of you. And I'm like, what? Because no one ever said that to me growing up. So I mean, sad, but true.
You should be proud.
Oh, shut up. Now I'm going to punch you in the face.
Look, the PMDD, you don't know what you're getting.
It's a mixed bag.
It's a mixed bag.
It's a mixed bag of cuckoo.
Yeah. Well, here's the second phrase, which is, I hear you.
I say
this to my kids all the time.
Yeah.
Same. I say this to people all the time. I hear you. Mm-hmm. I hear you. Because I want people to know that, like, look, I hear you. I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm paying attention to what you're saying. I understand how you're feeling about this. And, you know, it's a great way to minimize complaining. Like, sometimes when I don't like it, you're like, I hear you. I hear that. I know. I understand this is. And sometimes my kids are like, you always say that. You always say, I know. You always say, me. And I'm like, well, okay. I'm trying to say, like, I'm empathizing. I understand.
Right.
I hear you.
I'm taking
in your complaints.
Right.
But, you know, the reality is most of us don't love everything we do each and every day in order to have a decent life. We just don't.
Right.
Things like, you know, stopping play to clean the house or whatever, like do your homework. No, those do not, in fact, bring great joy in the moment. I think we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, when you are looking at the results of that, you know, you find that self-pride. But you have to be able to acknowledge to them, like, I hear you. I know it sucks. Expressing that something that they hate is annoying is not giving in and losing the battle of being in charge. In fact, you can entirely disagree with how they're acting and still hear what they're complaining about. And it's a really important building block for teaching them to identify and manage their own feelings. So when you can say, like, I hear your complaint, you're not going to get out of cleaning your room. I hear your complaint. You're not getting the phone back right now. And here's why.
Right.
But I hear you. And you're right. It is uncomfortable. And this is supposed to be uncomfortable. You know, the other day, B was on restriction for some spring break stuff. And she was like, but why can't I do this? Oh my God, but Zoe's going to do it. And this is no fun. I said, here's the deal. I hear you. And you're right. It's not fun. But let's remember that it's not fun for a reason right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it has to be that way. So I'm sorry that you're kind of bummed and jealous. And I understand that. And I hear that. But this is why we have to have it this way. And she was like, oh, I know, and just walked away.
Right.
It wasn't a big thing, but she at least felt like, okay, I'm not throwing it in her face. I'm not saying I told you so. I'm just saying, like, you're right. You are right. This sucks. But sometimes things suck.
When I went to grad school and I became a therapist, one of the things we learned really early on was to try to take the phrase, I understand, out of our vernacular.
Yeah.
Because even if you've gone, and I think we do this as parents a lot, like,
I
we're
say,
like,
I
do too. And then I'm like, shit, no, I don't.
Right.
Even if they're going through the same thing that you went through, like we've talked about before, they're internalizing it different. Their reactions to it, it's not the same. And so you're not really supposed to say, I understand as a therapist. And I try to put it into everyday life because you don't understand, but you can say, but I hear you.
I'm going to really work on that because I say I understand a lot. Or yeah. No, I know. Like, and I fucking know how annoying I know it is.
Right.
I get it.
I get it.
No, you don't. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. And I'll say that though. Sometimes I'll say like, oh, I get it. And they'll be like, no, you don't understand. You don't get it. You don't get what's going on. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. You're right. I don't. I'm sorry. I was trying to express that I hear you. I hear your complaints and I know that you're going through something. But you're right. I don't experience it like you, and you're allowed to have that.
Right. Good for you for being able to say that, though. Like, you know, if I'd said that to my mom and tried many times as a kid to say to my mom, but you don't understand,
I'm not going to say I'm perfect all the time, but I do. I hear them when they say you don't understand. I know what they mean by that. I know that they're not trying to be like, you've never been through this. It's just that they literally are saying like, yeah, but you went through it, you know, 35 years ago, 30 years ago.
5 million years ago.
Right, which to them is like an unheard of amount of time. So it's like, it is different. And you don't completely understand because it's different now. And you're right.
Right.
Kids, you're right about that.
Right. But you're letting them have that conversation with you, which, you know, I think, again, is a generational parenting thing where we'll say, like, they are allowed to say, but you don't understand.
Right.
You know, if I had said that to my mother, it'd been a slippery carpet. Let me tell you that much.
It's Pasadena now.
It's Pasadena.
Third phrase that's really great is, what is your plan for blank?
Yes.
And
God damn it, I'm terrible at this.
I'm really bad at
this. Fucking terrible.
Well,
so good
again,
with my clients about it.
Again,
terrible with my kids.
It's because it's a control thing. I want you to do it this way.
Yes.
And especially.
Or just do it.
Right. And especially now that our kids, you know, mine are 11 and 14 and yours are
10 and 15, 10
and
almost
15.
11 and 16.
Right. It really, you know, what is your plan for blank? It puts the power and the options in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And now that our kids particularly are a little bit older, you have to ask them that question. You know, it's a great way to start a dialogue about topics that maybe irritate your kids. So what's your plan for, you
buying
know,
that Jeep
buying
that you
that,
think that you can afford?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, especially for minimizing arguing when it comes to everyday tasks. Like homework, cleaning their space, all of that. So this one I really want to put into play because I try to ask, what's your plan for the afternoon? They'll be like, oh, well, I want to go do this. I'm like, okay, well, if that's your plan, then you know the steps that you have to get there, which is clean up your room, do your laundry, whatever. And they're like, okay. It puts an end to the idea that you control everything that they do or forcing them to do something. So it's like, okay, what's your plan for homework?
Right.
When are you going to do that? What's your plan for, you know, whatever it might be?
Yeah, what's your plan for cleaning your room or doing your laundry even?
Right. You know, you're helping them strategize and, again, putting the ball in their court to some degree of letting them feel empowered and like they are in charge of some of their own decisions. Because, you know, I was thinking about that the other day and I forgot the feeling and I had to kind of tap into it and go back. That feeling of being so powerless up against your parents.
Yeah.
And that feeling of like knowing, even though you don't want to know it, but knowing that like, fuck, at the end of the day, like they control my phone. They control if I can go. They control everything and it sucks. And I had to tap back into that feeling of like, oh yeah, it's a shitty feeling. It's a it's uncomfortable. Yeah. And especially at that age when you're like, really like, I can do this. And your parents are like, no, you can't.
Yep.
You know,
and they feel like they're adults. They don't, they, right. You know,
and knowing
they
like,
don't realize
that you have to defer or make a really stupid decision and go against them. And then you have to pay the consequences for that.
Right.
But it's asking them, what is your plan for something? It helps them to strategize and makes it so that you don't sound like the parents and the peanuts. Yeah. You know, like, wah, 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 wah. I know I sound like that.
Me too.
I sound like that to myself.
I can see it when they're like done listening to me. Like it's just the blank stare of like, they're I'm standing here so that you don't get mad at me. But
I am checked out.
I am in my head. I am making a TikTok.
Right. And, you know, this will help diminish how much micromanaging you end up doing for your child as they grow. And it teaches them to make a plan for dealing with tasks that they don't love to do in the end, because being a grown up is all about that. And I remind them of that often. I go, there are the have to's and the want to's. And most of the time in adult life, you have to do the have to's before you get to do the want to's.
Yes.
And that's just how this works.
Right.
So we have to divide up things into have to's and want to's. And, you know, hopefully you kind of get to blend those together. I have to do this. I want to do this. Okay. Then I have to do something else.
That's right.
And that's what it is. And asking your question of, you know, what is your plan for this really helps them to deal with that. And it teaches you to like take a step back, which is so hard for me. I know.
Me too.
It's hard.
It really is. I'm really bad about that one. The next one I'm actually pretty good with, although I'm going to change the wording. It is, why do you ask? I would say, what makes you ask? Because why do you ask is going to get you a, keep it more open-ended question. So what makes you ask? Because they probably had a reason for something.
Right.
And this is actually a phrase that was touted by Ron Lieber, a financial columnist in the New York Times and the author of The Opposite of Spoiled, Raising Kids Who Are Grounded, Generous, and Smart About Money.
Oh, shit. I need to read this book.
Yeah, me too. God. He recommends parents use it pretty much any time that their child asks a money-related question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Firstly, it helps you to gauge why they're asking what they're asking, which could be as simple as, are we financially safe? Mm-hmm. Do I have to worry about money? And secondly, it's also a great question to fall back on because it buys a few seconds to compose yourself and be more deliberate about your response, even if your answer is only, I don't know. Finally, it's a great response to help you connect with your child whenever they ask any complicated questions. I use this in therapy a lot as well. Yeah. They often are, and it can set in place a standard for open and honest communication where they feel that they are both seen and heard. I will say, as somebody who's divorced, and I'm sure you've come up with this too, and you know, even dating and stuff, when the kids ask me questions about their dad, that is my go-to, is what makes you ask? Because I can compose myself. Right. And also, before I jump to why I think they're asking, I want to know what they really meant, because I could end up saying something that they don't want to know, you know, like if I say, well, oh, just because he mentioned, oh, okay, cool, then that's fine.
Right.
But I could jump to the wrong conclusion pretty fast.
Right.
And you can do that with anybody. So it's really better to ask.
It's a great question. And it is, especially, you know, what we're talking about in regards to financial stuff.
Yeah.
Like, my kids have asked me, do we have money? Or are we okay? And, you know, there have been times when I'm like, oh, I mean, you know, what is money anyway? It's such a social concept. There's not even a gold standard anymore. You know, the 70s with Nixon and all. Like, I just go into a whole fucking thing, right?
Yes. Yes. I'm like, we've got some food and two cats.
Right, right. Like, you know, we're fine. I definitely have been in that position. But then I've also been in a more comfortable position. And they're like, do we have money? And I'm like, what makes you ask? Because I know it's probably they want something. Or their friends are like, how much money did you want to make? Or how much money
do you have? Oh, that must happen to you a lot. Oh, my God. Remember that?
Yeah, but there was a kid that came to my house one time. And she walked in the door and looked around. And she was like,
Birthday party.
She wound up leaving. But there
thank
was
God
a kid
we all hated
that
her.
Walked around and she just goes, I mean, you're on TV. I thought you'd have a bigger house. And yeah. I was like, you can wait for your parents on the porch. Yeah. yeah.
She was a little dick. That kid. Remember her with the limbo and everything? She was just a dick. She was like, I thought you'd have a nicer house and like it'd be bigger.
I was like, I thought your parents would be here sooner. Yeah. anyway, right. That is what it is. Hashtag, that's what I said. Okay.
I'm just going to say fuck after every shitty thing today. Just my fuck. That's and that's right. How I feel about that kid.
Yeah, exactly. And this is one I actually have tried using and I do it pretty... Anything you could do to help with blank would be awesome.
I use that on Dustin. Yeah.
Well, no, but it's a great... I mean, and look, there's a passive-aggressive way to say it, but we're not talking about that.
No, I use it the way that it's intended.
Right, with good intentions, right? Because I could definitely be like, you know, anything you could do to help with dinner would be awesome.
No.
Right, I could do it like that.
Yeah, I don't do that.
And that's not the tone that we're recommending.
No, we're saying
this is how you should say it. Yes. Hey, anything you could do to help with dinner would be really awesome. But like genuinely mean it.
Mean it. And right. Listen, I use it in my relationship, I think, because I have a hard time asking for help.
Right.
And so it's easier for me to say that. And he is very attuned to it now where he's like, got it. What can I do? You know, with the kids, it is so that I can stop directing them.
Right.
Although I really want to direct them like Julie, the fucking cruise director of the Love Boat. So oh my like, God. I want to boss them around.
I literally was like, your sister was the cruise director on the Love Boat. But then I realized that
oh my God.
Two different things.
If you had known my sister, that's even funnier because my sister was so antisocial. She would have been like, what? No. Okay. Right. Bye.
That would have been I've done it with dinner stuff. I do it with like, hey, if you could help do this, that would be really cool. It just is a better way to present something. It's a little less confrontational. It starts a dialogue instead of a demand. And, you know, this might not make them want to do anything, but it'll help with like tweens and teens when they're asked to stop doing something pleasurable for something that's not. And it gives them a sense of agency so that you know, they know like, hey, I need your help. And when they rise to the occasion, make sure you go, hey, thank you so much for taking the initiative with whatever. It was really helpful to have you do that. Thank you so much. I hope you're as proud of yourself as I am. Now, that can be maybe more of a little kid thing that you would say, but you could be like, oh, you should be really proud of yourself. That was awesome that you helped with that.
Like, well, and it also teaches them to be of service. Like, that is such a good thing, you know? Like, they're like, and I helped. I did some. In the end, if you feel good when you help
somebody. Of course you do. And let's remember, kids are just sort of self-centered dicks. And that's not by them being anything wrong with them. They don't have that part of their brain that really, like, revolves around helping other people yet. They're like, me.
Right.
What am I getting? How is this affecting me? And some of people never grow out of that. And I know several.
Me too.
But mm-hmm. asking questions and starting a dialogue. And I think what we see with all of these phrases, these six things.
We have one more.
Oh, we do. Oh, that's right.
The squirrels took over
at five.
Ran.
The sixth and final one is, what was the most frustrating or most exciting part of your day? And I
just always say, how's your day? And then
I learned that is a dead end question.
It is a dead end question.
I will try to ask. Sometimes I'll be like, hey, how was your day? You know, fine. Yeah. Go, oh, did anything funny happen today?
Did anything crazy happen today?
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes the answer is no. But sometimes that opens up the door. Oh, my gosh. So-and-so did this at lunch or blah, 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 blah. Or so-and-so said, I'm like, okay, cool. But how was your day? It was like, I mean, it was fine. Yeah, and I get it. Like, when I come home, I don't want to recount the details of all of my day either. So some parents get upset at that. And I'm like, no, dude, when you walk in the door from work and someone's like, how was your day? And you just go, it's fine.
You're not like, you don't, well, tell me more.
Right. Like, you get it. You're like, yeah, I get it. Right. You need a few minutes to like decompress. They get in the car from school. They've been in there 8 hours, like with a lot of stimulation. You're like, recount every detail of your day to me. No, I'm not fucking do that.
Right.
Ask specific questions, and getting your kids to open up about their days can sometimes feel really exhausting. But have a few go-to prompts in your mind that help you go beyond the how was your day thing. You know, what was exciting? What was funny? Did anything really good happen? Did anything kind of disappointing happen? Like the good and the bad.
Right, and
the
roses and the thorns. If they told you something, you know, last week or the day before, be like, what ended up happening with that? Like,
yeah.
Let them know that you were listening to them also the last time you asked and they told you something, so they really understand, like, where I hear you. You really do hear them.
Exactly.
You remember and you can reflect back what they said.
Right. Right. And I mean, who doesn't like to know that someone was paying attention to what they said and like, oh, how'd your presentation go? Or how did so-and-so ever resolve this? Or are those two friends talking again? Like, is that one allowed back at the lunch table? Like, right, I know that's always some drama about where someone's sitting or whatever. Oh, God, there's a whole long thing about the
you
the
can't
seats
sit with
at,
us.
The seats at lunch and who is in charge of being able to determine who sits at what table and all of that kind of stuff. That was Bee's moment. Anyway, so let's go back over these phrases. I'll take the first three. You take the second.
All right.
Okay. All right. Here's the phrases that were these were sourced from Amy McCready, parenting coach, and check out positiveparentingsolutions.com. The phrases are one, you should be proud of yourself. And I'm saying that to you too. To you, listener, you should be proud of yourself.
Agreed.
You really should. Two is I hear you. Really important. I hear you. And not just like my ears sort of took in the auditory presentation of you speaking, but like I took it in, I listened to it, and I have actually thought about it.
If you can put active listening into that, by the way, I would
say
do
it.
Yeah. Repeat back. So, I hear you. It's not fair, blank, blank. Right. What you did with B was exactly that.
Right. Three, what is your plan for? Fill in the blank.
Must do that.
That one's saying a that good to one myself. To work on. Okay. The last three were
what makes you ask? I'm going to say instead of why do you ask? And then anything you could do to help with blank would be awesome.
Yep.
And then what is the most frustrating / most exciting part of your day?
Or any other go-to prompts in mind that just go beyond the typical how is your day?
Yeah.
And these are the things that can really help you develop a much better, more open relationship with your kids. And also remember, sometimes your kids, that was my stomach that just growled, by the way. What the fuck?
I heard that.
Oh my God.
That was crazy.
I know. Apparently, I'm very hungry.
Is it the detox? I mean, maybe that's
I just
what
did eat a bunch of salads. Oh, boy. No, anyway.
Glad I have to leave soon.
Shut up. I don't even remember what I was saying, but I was talking about having
that's
a good.
All right.
I know. Having a good relationship movement with your kids. This is where, this is it. Now we've unraveled. We've unraveled. We've gotten to the
well,
end.
You said having a good, it just felt like we were talking
it was like,
about, we were talking about salad. So I'm just
true.
Wondering if that's where you were going with that.
No, you know me. That doesn't happen. Anyway.
It's ridiculous.
Stop it.
Right. She doesn't poop.
We're not talking about that. So anyway, just these senses to like open up a better relationship with your kids, unless you're talking about that, in which case we're not talking about it at all.
Oh my God. Stop my it. Kids and I stop. Talk about it all the time.
Stop it. Stop it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Now, see, do you see how flustered I am now?
I know.
So up because now you've distracted
she's like me. Blushing. It's hilarious.
I am. It's ridiculous. Leave me alone. Anyway. you know, it's not easy being a parent. It's not easy learning how to have a relationship with your kids because they're changing and they're going through a lot of stuff. And sometimes you're not the person that they want to talk about
right.
it with.
It's not easy being green. Whatever. It's so fine.
That too. You know, Kermit had a point.
But he pooped. Kermit pooped.
Stop talking about it. So yeah, you guys, it's a work in progress. Remember these six phrases. Go check out positiveparentingsolutions.com and just do your best. And remember, like, there is no perfect. Just
oh God, no.
No, there's no perfect. So like,
do we have cards today, by the way? We have, Sabrina wrote down.
I don't, we didn't take them out.
Oh,
I don't
well,
know where they are.
Gonna,
are we going to do our gratitude
them.
Cards?
Yes, we have a few minutes.
Okay, gratitude AF cards. These are always a fun surprise. I don't even know what's going to happen. What do we got? Grateful Aww. For Joshua trees. Joshua trees are here in California. They're actually quite interesting and beautiful. Joshua trees are the platypi of the tree world. That is plural for platypus, if you were wondering, which are strange little creatures that live in Australia, and they're rather amazing and also poisonous. They've got the trunk of a tree, but they're really plants. Mm-hmm. They're scaly and puffy and spindly all at the same time. They also look like someone running through the desert waving pom-poms. Mm-hmm. Very true. Also something I've done. Anyway, Joshua trees. But that's a story for another time. Joshua trees
Coachella?
Make it. Nope.
Nope.
Joshua
nope.
trees make it clear that everyone gets weird if they hang out in the desert long enough. Thus,
that is true.
Proving my point.
Absolutely.
Of the story.
That's fucking true.
And the irony that it was just Coachella weekend, I think, really, really proves that one.
I love going to Joshua tree. It's
oh, it's gorgeous.
So beautiful
it's
there.
Gorgeous.
What do I have?
Oh.
Cell phones.
Okay.
You used to call me on my cell phone. Sorry. Yes, they can
no,
be.
No, I don't. I'd never call you on the cell phone unless someone's dying.
I know. I called you the other day and I said.
Your song is Please Don't Call Me on My Cell Phone.
That's right.
Right.
I called her the other day and just because I was driving and I was like, first thing I said to you was, no one's dead.
Yeah.
Because we really don't talk
that.
On the phone. Yes, they can be distracting time drains, but so can your genitals. And hopefully you've
oh,
learned
man,
to regulate
that's...
that.
Ain't that the fucking truth? Distracting time drains. cell phones and your balls. Okay.
or your vagina.
Yep.
It is. Oh my God. All right.
Hopefully. Although sometimes it can be time well spent. Anyway.
That also true. Great.
Right.
Same with the cell phone. Okay. So
I would say they're a distracting time suck, but that's a whole other thing.
Oh my God. Or lick. Time okay, lick. Get,
no,
anyway.
No.
And hopefully you've learned to regulate that. Cell phones can make life so much easier in so many ways. Think it's about true. This. There once was a time when you had to wait at home to get a call from that person whose genitals you wanted to touch. Sucky, right? Go get cell phones. You can also have phones.
It doesn't say go get cell
them.
Phones. It says just go cell phones. Oh. But
well,
whatever.
Go get cell phones.
Go
get
sure.
a cell phone if you don't already because you live in 19.
Because you need
90.
To see pictures of genitals. I don't know. Or take some. It's... Really, really, cell phones and genitals go hand in hand. Literally.
Oh, tell me about it. Hand and peni.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we did that. That really got us back to the tone of our show, which is inappropriate and ridiculous. So anyway, we love you guys. Thank you so much, listeners, for always tuning in. We hope you learned something from this, particularly about cell phones and genitals. But maybe you also learned how to have a better conversation with your kids.
I really hope that the title of this episode is cell phones and genitals.
I don't think that should be it.
Damn it!
I don't think that should be it.
You lose on the... lose
maybe
on
it's
the titles.
The subtitle. Not the subtitle, but you know what I mean.
The subtext?
Anyway, I don't know. Whatever.
It's all bad.
It's always the subtext. Okay. Oh, if you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Instagram at Never Thought I'd Say This, also on Twitter at Never Thought I'd. You can email us at neverthoughtid@protonmail.com. You can also find me at Jody Sweeten across most socials.
And I'm the Celia Behar on two socials. I'm not going to tell you which ones. Just
pick,
go look.
Just figure it out. It's LinkedIn. I'll tell you that's one.
Don't find me there.
Don't find her on LinkedIn. Anyway, you guys, thank you for joining us. And remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Or your genitals.
Or your cell phones.
Never Thought I'd Say This with Jody Sweeten and Celia Behar is an Audio Boom original.